Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now our series on the best documentary Oscar nominees continues with the fourth of five, and it's about Shin Bet, the intelligence agency charged with defending Israel against terrorism. For the last 30 years, only six men have led that organization, and my next guest interviewed all of them in his Oscar-nominated feature documentary, The Gatekeepers. Maybe a good number of you have seen it. It's been playing on the Upper West Side, and my guest is Dror Morey. Welcome back to WNYC, and congratulations on the nomination.
Thank you very much.
For our listeners not familiar, can you give a very short history of Shin Bet?
I don't know if I can give a history, but I can tell that the Shin Bet is the organization, security organization, who deals with the Palestinian conflict on all its aspects. He's the one that is responsible for maintaining intelligence in order to prevent terror from all sides, Israeli, Jews, and also from Palestinian. He's the organization who is responsible for targeted assassination of terrorists, for torturing in order to get intelligence, for all maintaining and protecting the state of Israel on any kind of threat which is coming from the Palestinian terror towards the Israelis.
So, in a way, the Israeli equivalent of the CIA.
It's a mixture of the CIA, FBI together. The Shin Bet is a very clandestine organization who deals only in the shadows. That's why it's not known as well as the Mossad. It does a lot of things that the CIA is doing, but the CIA is working outside of the U.S. The Shin Bet is working within the territories that are under military rule of the Israelis. They're not working, let's say, in other countries, which is the Mossad turf. They are working more inside the territories, the Palestinian territories, than here.
The film is all in Hebrew, so we can't play any clips. But is it fair to say that the theme is that all of these former Shin Bet leaders say Israel cannot go on with the security policies that it's pursuing?
Israel cannot go on, not with the security policy, but more cannot go on maintaining the occupation. Basically, all six men who headed that organization are saying in a loud and clear voice, enough with the occupation of the Palestinian people. It is the best way for Israel to solve that problem. And if Israel will continue to maintain that occupation, it will only lead to a disaster for the state of Israel. And this, bear in mind, coming from the center of the defense establishment in Israel, from the people who are most responsible for maintaining and arranging that conflict, especially when they are the one that are fighting. You cannot, you know, in a way you cannot call them left-wing. Not at all. They are more hawkish than dovish, but this is the conclusion that they've reached after all the service in the security establishment of Israel.
What do they say will happen in Israel if the occupation continues?
Well, you know, they are not prophets, but they see that the effect of that on Israeli domestic arena, the problem with the youngsters of Israel, the amount of racism that you see among the Israeli people, the moral collapsing of the Israeli people, and also internationally, how Israel is being treated, the change towards Israel in the international arena in the last 45 years after the 67 war. So they see the whole basic of the whole concept of the whole conflict from all its aspects, and this is why they are afraid for the future of the state of Israel.
How specific do they get about that? Do they call for a certain kind of two-state solution or anything else?
They are very, very specific. Yes, they are calling for that Israel should do as much as it can to walk towards a two-state solution. Israel should strive for that because it's in the best interest of Israel. They're not calling it because they are leftists or they want the Palestinian to be. They are worried about the state of Israel. They are basically endorsing what President Obama is trying to create, the two-state solution. And they are calling it out and loud, clear. You know, go for a two-state solution. Try to solve it while we can. Because, you know, the more time is passing, the more difficult it is to solve that problem.
Dror, we want to call you back and see if we can get you on a better phone line. So we're going to do that right now. In the meantime, if anybody has seen The Gatekeepers and wants to react to it from any political point of view or any filmmaking point of view, 212-433-WNYC. And we'll take a call right away from Doris in Manhattan. Hi, Doris. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Dror, congratulations on your film. And my question is, I believe that you had to shorten the interviews to make it a film length, but you have already, in Israel, you're going to put out a five-part series. I think it's for TV. Has this already been sold to the United States, and will we be able to see it with English subtitles?
Okay, Doris, thank you. And as soon as we get Dror back on the line, we'll ask him if that's the case. And it is in the theaters with English subtitles. Right now it's at one place, as I mentioned, on the Upper West Side, which is the Lincoln Plaza Cinema. It will also start at the Film Forum in Lower Manhattan on February 20th. So this is being shown. And again, this is part of our Best Documentary Oscar series. We're interviewing the directors of all five films on five consecutive days. This is the fourth out of the five, and we're just trying to get a better phone line to Tel Aviv for the director, Dror Morey, of The Gatekeepers. And I want to ask him how this is being received in Israel. Maybe it's more shocking for people in the United States to hear the head of their intelligence agencies, or I should say all six former heads of their intelligence agency dating back to 1980, question whether the occupation, the way it's continuing, is in Israel's interest or not. Maybe it's less shocking in Israel to hear that than it is for people in the United States. Art in Chelsea, you're on WNYC. Hello, Art.
Thanks so much. I've seen the film, and I think it's designed to perpetuate a myth that if only Israel would leave the occupied territories, everything would be fine. They left Gaza. They left southern Lebanon. Both areas were turned into armed camps. And that is the essential problem. The problem is not whether Israelis would like to have a Palestinian state over there. They'd be happy to have a peaceful one. There seems to be no way in the world to obtain that.
Art, I haven't seen the film yet, so I can't say how these former Shin Bet heads articulate what they say, but presumably they're all concerned about Israel's long-term security too after a Palestinian state is created. Did they change you in any way? Was there anything that surprised you that came out of the mouths of these particular people considering what they've done?
It sounded like excerpts were chosen from what they said to create a certain political point of view in the mind of the viewer of the film.
Ah, so you think it was selectively edited, perhaps?
Extremely.
Art, thank you for your call, and I think we have the director back now, Dror Morey. Dror, were you able to hear that last question?
Yeah, but I think that this question, or what the statement that was prior to where I am, is really not the truth. All six heads of the Shin Bet have seen the movie. They are firmly and strongly standing behind it and behind the message that it bears within. It was not cherry-picked in order to serve my purpose. And I think that he has to deal with the message that comes from the movie and not try to say that the messenger is the one to blame with the message. I think that he doesn't understand really the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and I think that if there is something that I tried or that surprised me completely while creating that movie and doing the interviews, is that the fact that those six men who were very, very close to the Prime Minister have said repeatedly that it's not that they are saying that tomorrow, if they will start a peace talk, peace will strive or everything will be fine. On the contrary, they know and understand how difficult it is to reach peace. They know and understand how much the Palestinians are a difficult client to reach peace with. But having said that, all of them said, are we a good client? Are we easy client to reach peace with? Look, there is 500,000 settlers in the West Bank now which do not want to be evacuated and to create what should be the Palestinian state. So those gatekeepers are saying that, and they are saying that it is for the best interest of Israel to try to reach peace. They're not saying that it could be reached very easily. They're not saying that, but they're saying that the Israeli politicians have to do that in order to preserve the Jewish democratic state as a Jewish state for the sake of the people who live in Israel, not those who live in New Jersey or in
Has Prime Minister Netanyahu reacted to this film?
From what I understood, Prime Minister Netanyahu's spokesman said that he's not interested to see the film, and he's not going to. So I would say that this shows a little bit about the man, not about the film.
How about...
Listen, this is six head of the Israeli defense establishment, the center core of the Israeli defense establishment. If there is someone who understands the Israeli-Palestinian conflict better than anybody else in the world, it's those six people who are speaking in the film. Nobody beside them understands that question and that conflict better than them. And they are coming and saying in a loud and clear voice, enough of the occupation. This is the worst thing for Israel's sake and security. Not coming from being, you know, left-wing or didn't. They are the ones that have done all their life spent in order to protect the state of Israel. And this is their message.
Gideon in Stamford. You're on WNYC. Hello, Gideon.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I'm an ex-member of Kibbutz Kerem Shalom from the 70s. And Ador would probably know the name, recognize the name, Kibbutz Kerem Shalom.
Okay, and what do you want to say?
Well, I want to say we were fighting for that solution in the 70s, we were very, very few people back then. And I just wonder, why did it take so long? Now the solution is so late, and personally, I don't believe it would happen without heavy involvement of the Arab countries. Because Israel alone cannot solve that problem anymore.
Gideon, thank you very much. And it's such a big historical question. I don't know that we have time, really, to give him a decent answer.
I totally agree with Gideon, and I would add to that I think that unless the international community, headed by the U.S., headed by the White House, with the Germans, the French, all the Western countries, would put an enormous amount of pressure on both sides on the ground, the Palestinian and the Israelis, to reach a solution, nothing will happen. I think that those two parties cannot do that by themselves. They need a lot of help from outside, and I hope that the international community will do that, especially President Obama.
Do you yourself, and I realize you're a filmmaker, not a political analyst, but do you yourself see any movement toward that right now after the Israeli election, in which the pro-negotiation centrist party did surprisingly well, and with President Obama coming to Israel for the first time in his presidency and hoping to stage a Netanyahu-Abbas summit? A lot of analysts here say Obama isn't really going there to try to launch a new peace process. He's really going there just to mend fences with Netanyahu. But what do you think?
I really hope that this will happen. I think that the Israeli election have sent a very clear message to Netanyahu that they want him to go center and not to the extreme right that he wanted to go. I hope that he understands that message. And I really, really hope that President Obama is coming to Israel to deal also with the peace process and the maintaining or continuing or building the beginning of a peace process. I think that if he is not doing that, he is doing a grave mistake, which will haunt Israel and the American very, very soon. The clouds for a third intifada, as one of the head of the Shin Bet have said, are gathering on the horizon. And unless America, headed by President Obama, will put a huge pressure in order to maintain or to start in a way the peace process, I think that the future is gloomy to all of us here.
Have many people in Israel seen your film? You said Prime Minister Netanyahu has declared his lack of interest in seeing it. Is your film showing widely in Israel, and is it a topic of national debate?
Absolutely. The film is now being seen in around 50,000 Israelis have watched it in the cinema. It opened only 1 month ago. It's a huge amount for a documentary in Israel. The debate in the television, the debate in the newspaper, in the column writer, the debate in the public is huge about the film. And a lot of people are watching it, are relating to it. And I hope that it will create, or it has created already, the buzz that I thought it will create because of the personas that are speaking in it for the first time.
One more call for you. Jan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. You saw the film, right?
Yes, I did, twice.
Twice? And?
Yep. Excellent film, Dror.
Thank you very much.
And you have a question, right?
Yes, I do. The thing that most interested me was the way that you handled the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin and the implication that I thought I understood from your film that this has had tremendous impact on the body politic in Israel in a way that we don't understand here in America. Could you talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. I think that the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin, which for me was the most terrible event in modern Israel's history, was created or was perpetrated by Jewish extreme right-wing settlers and who believe that no Israeli can give up the land of Israel toward the Gentile. They are motivated by messianic, biblical mission, and they cannot understand or take any kind of even democratic decision by an elected government that is opposing their biblical mission. And this is the most greatest danger to the peace process, because whenever there are those kind of movements towards creating peace, those extreme right-wing religious people are coming and saying this is against the God, against the law of the Torah, of the Bible, and no Jew can do that without being prosecuted or being created something that can hinder his life, and this is the reason why they have assassinated Prime Minister Rabin. And if you ask me today also, between the disengagement, the threat on Arik Sharon's life from extreme right Jews were much more graver than the one that was on Prime Minister Rabin prior to his assassination. So you can see that whenever there is a movement towards peace, those extreme right-wing, radical, religious Orthodox are waking up to say enough, and they are willing to danger everything in order to stop that, including bombing the Temple Mount, by the way.
Let me ask you, unless you have to go and answer your phone, one final question, and it's really an Oscar politics question. Among the five best documentary nominees are yours in Hebrew and the one from the Palestinian filmmaker's perspective in Arabic. Do you think you cancel out each other's possibility of actually winning the Oscar?
I'm not an analyst. Maybe I can give a lot of advice on politics in Israel, but on Oscar policy, I cannot really answer that. I hope that the best film will win, and that I think, is the best policy for the Oscars. Maybe the best win won.
In our last 15 seconds or so, what will you, because that's how much you would get, what would you say on stage if you win the Oscar?
I would dedicate this film to the assassinated Prime Minister of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin, who dared to think and dream peace and paid a very dear price for that. I think that he was an extraordinary leader, another extraordinary leader that was assassinated because he dared to dream peace was Anwar Sadat. And regrettably, all the people, all the leaders that are brave enough to dream peace, to try to bring this troubled region into peace, into living a normal life, always assassinated by extreme religious fanatics.
Dror Morey, director of The Gatekeepers, one of the five best documentary nominees at the Oscars this year. The Gatekeepers is playing at the Lincoln Plaza Cinema and will start at the Film Forum on February 20th. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for that conversation.
And we will conclude this series tomorrow on The Brian Lehrer Show with the director of the fifth and final best documentary nominee, and that is How to Survive a Plague.